that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out,
brothers, out.
And the rise of the factories fall.
Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union.
Support for KSER comes from members in the Mount Vernon Downtown Association, presenting the 4th Annual Fall Fest along historic Main Street in downtown Mount Vernon Saturday, September 25th. An all-day family-oriented event celebrating the Skagit Valley Bounty with local food, craftspeople, pony rides, and homespun arts. More information online at mountvernondowntown.org.
As a union man, I'm wise.
Greetings and welcome to Part of the Union, a monthly program of news, views, and events about and for members of labor unions and the progressive community around the country. An opinion from a working class perspective.
This is Ross Reeder, president of the Pacific Northwest Labor History Association, with Roger Yockey, retired union organizer and author of two books about unions. More on that later. Today, Roger will be interviewing Tom Geiger, communication director for Local 21, United Food and Commercials Workers. Local 21 and several other unions are in Puget Sound Regional Grocery Store negotiations as we speak. Now, we'll let Roger and Tom explain it to you in a few minutes. But first, here's our short shot editorial comment by our Bill Johnston, Everett Boy, and retired United Food and Commercial Workers leader.
I don't know why the Democrats don't get it. They claim they're the party of the working class, or as my dad used to say, the working man. And that was when the working man was commonly associated with manufacturing. In Everett, it was the mills, usually a lumber mill. Over the years, our government, run by a Congress bought by corporations, both Democrats and Republicans, through the guise of free trade, changed the tariff laws, blamed the environmentalists as the global timber corporations picked up and went to third world countries. In those countries, they bought entire governments, raped the timber supply, paid little brown workers a pittance of what American timber workers made, and leaving behind communities that were completely destroyed socially, culturally, and economically. I was born in Port Angeles, went to school there. I was visiting last week, visiting my aging aunts and uncles. Almost none of my cousins live there anymore because the timber industry is almost gone. The busy downtown I remember from my childhood is now banks, insurance offices, and anything that might draw tourists in the door. Port Angeles and Clallam County used to be hardcore Democrat. Now, it's pretty strong-leaning Republican. The Democrats, they believe, double-crossed them. The jobs disappeared and the Democrats did nothing to bring them back or create new ones. The Republicans have offered no solutions, and still don't, but effectively blamed the Democrats for the sorry state of the economy. Can you say spotted owl? And it works. Nationally, the Democrats are falling into the Port Angeles scenario as we approach the 2010 elections. The Democrats have offered nothing in the way of jobs, jobs, jobs to my dad's working man or woman, for that matter. They have shown no leadership in Congress or from the White House. The Republicans, as always, offer nothing but point at the Democrats and say, you have done nothing. Unemployment grows and the economy gets no better. Most people I know believe we are in a depression. Wall Street steals us blind and nothing happens to them. Our country needs massive rebuilding and we are still sending billions to Iraq and Afghanistan to build the things we need here. I don't know who is doing the strategy for the Democrats on the national level, but you have to ask yourself, what are they thinking?
Oh, right arm, Brother Bill. You're listening to Part of the Union on KSER 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio. Now here's Roger Yockey interviewing Tom Geiger, Communications Director for Local 21 of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union.
This is part of the union, KSER, 90.7 FM, listener supported. Our guest today is Tom Geiger, the Communications Director for the UFCW Local 21. That's United Food and Commercial Workers International Union. This is a very important year as thousands of grocery workers in the Puget Sound area are involved in negotiating a new labor agreement, a contract. Tom's going to tell us what's involved in those negotiations and where we're at this point. Tom, what is involved? How many local unions? What are some of the employers? And what are some of the issues?
Well, it's a big issue, a big contract. There's about 25,000 plus grocery store workers across Puget Sound that are covered by these negotiations, primarily with the big four grocery stores in the region, QFC, Fred Meyer, Albertsons, and Safeway. And three unions are negotiating this together with those employers, and those unions are UFCW 21, UFCW 81, and Teamsters 38. UFCW 81 is a meat cutters union primarily, and Teamsters 38 represents grocery workers up in kind of the Snohomish County area. And so anyway, that's kind of the short overview on the scale of it. We've been in negotiations since mid-March, and the initial contract, or the prior contract, if you will, expired in early May, and we've been in extension since.
What are some of the key issues still on the table, or what's been settled, or tentatively settled?
Well, really, it's all still on the table. I mean, the primary issues of this negotiation that are similar to many are, you know, wages, health plan, and pension. None of the grocery store workers, I think, see this as a time that they're going to have, you know, a contract that's going to help them get rich. You know, the economy is definitely tough out there, but the reality is these companies are major Fortune 50 companies. They're making a good amount of money. They paid their CEOs $30 million last year, and they can afford to give the workers a fair contract. So looking for some modest improvement on the wages, looking to make sure the health plan is protected. The health plan is very important to the grocery store workers, and they've been benefiting from a good health plan, and they want to be able to protect that plan. And finally, they want to be able to secure a pension so that after a lifetime of hard work, they can retire with dignity. And you know, that's a tough one these days because the crash in the economy affected pension funds across the nation, and this pension was no different. And then two interesting other big issues I think are this issue of sick leave, which we could talk a little bit about, the idea that grocery store workers don't have paid sick days, and that scheduling is really unpredictable, and the employers want to basically maintain a scheduling requirement where they give 3 days notice about next week's work schedule, and that makes it pretty hard to plan a life outside of work.
What's the health care issues and not having basically any sick leave? How does that affect not only the workers but also consumers, customers?
Well, I'd refer to, Nicole Broder, a columnist with the Seattle Times, wrote a piece a little while back, and it had a lot of interest from readers, and basically her headline was "A Grocery Worker's Sick Deal," and she brings up that very point in her piece, talking about the challenges of somebody who, you know, a third of grocery store workers get $10 an hour or less in their pay. The average work week now is 28 hours, so it's become really a part-time job for many workers. And when you put those two together, you realize that it's pretty difficult for a person to miss a day of work and still be able to make ends meet and pay the bills at the end of the month if you're sick. So many workers make this kind of awful choice of, well, do I pay my bills or go to work sick? And as she covers in that story, many people come to work sick. And, you know, that can have an effect on coworkers. It can have an effect on, as she covers in that story, customers and the whole deal. So it's really a public health issue as much as it is a workers' right issue, and we want to resolve that.
Tom, I want to say that for our listeners, we're listening to Tom Geiger, the communications director for the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, UFCW 21. And we're speaking on a part of the union on KSER, listener-supported, 90.7 FM from Everett. And we're talking about, very important, with thousands of grocery workers being involved in negotiations. Tom, you talked about the issue of health plans and health care coverage. Doesn't what is bargained by for grocery workers, doesn't have an impact on other workers in other industries?
Oh, I think so. When you're looking at an expectation now, I think a good one across the country since health care reform was passed earlier this year by Congress and signed into law by President Obama, you know, we kind of are in a new frontier, I think a good one in this country, where it's an expectation that everyone will have health care coverage. But there's a little ways between now and that law being fully implemented. So grocery store workers having health care coverage and a good health plan, that affects their families. And so you multiply that out, and you're talking 100,000 people probably total across the region connected to this one way or the other. And then, the idea that you are able to bargain a good health plan through your job as a union member and setting that as a good goalpost out there helps other union negotiations, I believe, across the region, even outside of the grocery industry.
Tom, I was involved in 21 years ago, a 81-day strike and lockout of the UFCW grocery workers, both meat cutters and clerks. And that strike was won with strong consumer and support of other unions. Would you tell us something about how UFCW and other unions are reaching out to other labor organizations, to community groups, to church organizations?
Yeah, this negotiation has been one that's seen a lot of support by a broad spectrum of the public, and both within the labor movement and broad community organizations as a whole. The grocery store workers back in the beginning part of May developed what was called the Grocery Store Workers Bill of Rights. And it goes through and lists some workplace rights, some principles that they feel should kind of guide the way that that work is done and that they are treated in the workplace. And we've got 24 community organizations now from around the state have signed on in support of that Bill of Rights, as well as the vast majority of the workers themselves from the stores. We've had events up and down and around Puget Sound, one in Everett, one in Bellingham, one over in Bremerton, one in Issaquah, one down in Renton, where grocery store workers stood up for working moms. A large percentage of workers are working moms. So you've got organizations involved like the Children's Alliance spoke at one of those events. So not just labor organizations, but community organizations as well. And it's just been outstanding for the workers to have that level of public support for their contract.
Having had the privilege and pleasure of working with unions for many years, including grocery workers, I noticed that there's a real tie between the workers in the stores and the customers, because they become friends, and in many cases they're neighbors living in the same community, the same neighborhood. Would you elaborate on how important that is to the stability of both the industry and the community, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, grocery store workers really do live throughout the region, and they work throughout the region. And I think that the strong connection is felt because most of us that go and shop, and that is just about all of us, we do so on a regular basis. I mean, I see my grocery clerk twice a week. My wife and I were just there last night at 9:30 at night, because that's when we could fit in our shopping trip after the kids had gone to bed and grandma was at the house. So the connection that is felt there, I think, is real, and it's strong. And you know, outside of our family, we may see our grocery worker more frequently than anybody else in our regular operating of our day. And then the other thing is the feeling that the grocery store worker really is an aspect of representing this attempt to reclaim a middle class life in America. And you know, if you've got a job with a decent wage, dependable health care, a retirement, that somehow is an indicator of living or the ability to live the American dream. And that's been lost to a degree around the country and in this region, and we're working to get that back.
Tom, in conclusion, are there any negotiations set?
Yeah, there's negotiations coming up on next week, that is on the 22nd and 23rd of September, are back-to-back negotiations that are upcoming and scheduled. And if we make some progress in those 2 days, there's certainly a hope and a willingness to keep pursuing those and keep things going. You know, I would say that the members, we've been in negotiations since the middle of March, so this has been going on for a while. Progress is being made. You know, some of the proposals that were made by the employers that were the most bad around, let's say, the health plan, have been you know, kind of taken back a little bit. So I mean, there definitely is some progress being made, but it has not been anywhere near what is needed to be reaching a fair contract. So workers are taking action. They're taking action together. They're reaching out to the community, and we're making headway.
I've just been informed by our producer-director, Ross Reeder, that I have some more time, so we're going to use it.
Well, that'd be great. You know, one thing that, in order to reach out to the public, one of the things that we've just started, and it's just started on the 15th of September, is a radio ad. It's up on, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention other radio stations on your
air. You are.
Okay, on 106.9 and Como 1000 AM, the radio ad featuring three grocery store workers talking about this struggle to get a fair contract, and those will be up over the coming weeks. And so I think that's an aspect of, you know, just a need to bring this out to the customers a little bit more.
Two other things. I think the public may realize it when they're shopping, but sometimes may overlook it. I've noticed that grocery stores reflect the ethnic diversity of the community. And it's through the unions that we actually have a sort of bonding of various groups. Can you talk a little bit about what unions provide to the community and to the stability and the fiber of the community, and why it's so important that is not broken by employer taking action?
Well, one of the protections that exists in most union contracts is a just cause. And a lot of people don't even necessarily realize what that means, but basically that an employer cannot discipline you or fire you without a good reason. And that's not a protection that most people have in their job, quite frankly. We're an at-will state, meaning pretty much somebody can let you go for, well, for no reason, actually. And the idea that a worker, whether it's a newly immigrated worker or a person with limited job skills or a person that's been in the region for generations and as a college graduate, either way, that you have those protections in your workplace, that you can't be unfairly disciplined, that favoritism shouldn't come into play when you're getting a raise after working for a certain amount of time. These are all things that you get in a union contract that are just basically human workplace fairness issues. And I think that the more we have that, the more workers are going to be better off, and our communities are going to be better off.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure talking with you and getting a current up-to-date about the very critical negotiations ongoing in the grocery industry in our area of the Puget Sound. Tom Geiger is the Communications Director for United Food and Commercial Workers Union Local 21. We hope to either talk to Tom or someone from Local 21, or to certainly announce a successful labor agreement achieved for decent working conditions and terms for our hardworking grocery store members in this area. I'm Roger Yockey. This is a part of the union on listener-supported KSER 90.7 FM in Everett, Washington. Thank you and have a good evening.
Next month, when we come back to see you, we're going to interview an expert on teacher evaluation from the American Federation of Teachers at their office in Washington, D.C., or as I prefer to call it, the colony. In some mental preparation for that topic, we're going to play a poignant song from the late 1970s musical based on the book Working by Studs Terkel. The song is called Nobody Tells Me How.
My classroom was always a showcase. In those days, we did it ourselves. With colorful pictures and charts on the wall. A snowman in winter, a pumpkin in fall. And all my supplies were in neat little piles on the shelves. My children were always examples. When the principal came, they would rise. If I had to leave them a minute or two, they always found something constructive to do. And all of them sat in their places according to size. But kids don't know how to behave anymore. Ask them to rise and they'll ask you what for. They write on the walls and they sit on the floor. It's called informality now. Teach in a classroom like that, but nobody tells me how. I made a big thing about spelling, but they learned by the time I got through. They copied the words till they knew them by heart. 10 times for the dumb ones and twice for the smart. And gold stars were given to those who made sentences too. Nobody teaches them spelling today. Who has the time between weaving and play? The words they can write, I'm embarrassed to say. They're free to express themselves now. The way I've been teaching for 41 years is no longer effective, or so it appears. Well, damn it, it worked for me then. So what's wrong with it now?
That was Nobody Tells Me How, sung by Bobo Lewis from the musical Working. Since we've got a little extra time here, I've discovered that we could have time to play another song, wonderful song, from Work, taken from Stud Terkel's book, Work. And that song is called It's an Art. And this is the voice, the singing voice, of a waitress.
Some is don't care when they put down the plate. There's a sound, not with me. When they move a chair, it'll scrape with a grate on the ground.
Not with me.
I will have my hand right when I place a glass. Notice how I stand right as customers pass. Serve a demi-tasse with a gesture so gentle. Or do it again till it's near oriental. It's an art, it's an art to be a fine waitress, to see that you pork chop or serve a New York chop. It all needs to be stylish and smart. That's what makes it an art. I remember one day, as I do now and then, I had shakes. And down I went, there with my tray full of 7 prime tenderloin steaks. Down I went. But I kept my poise, not one guest heard me fall. Never made a noise, not one noise, food and all. If you have to crawl, you give them what they like. You carry your tray like it's almost ballet-like. La 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 la. It's an art, it's an art to be a fine waitress. Each evening I treasure the test. Well, my chef may be deaf, I stay diplomatic. If I give him static, he might burn the haddock or put too much salt in a tart. Even that is an art. Tips, tips are important for people like captains and barmen. For them, it's a tipsy. For me, I'm a gypsy. Just toss me a coin, and I suddenly feel like I'm Carmen. Approaches, the curtains descend. There among the roaches, my act's at an end. Every night I tend to find myself crying. There's no work so trying or so satisfying. I tell everybody that I'm a waitress and I'm proud. Somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, you're terrific. How come you're just a waitress?" You know what I say to them? I say, "Why? Don't you think you deserve to be served by me?" It's an art. It's an art to be a waitress, to do without leisure or rest. So I zoom through the room with a flare no one else has, and air no one else has, I swear. No one else has my lilt. I'm not quite Michelangelo, but I'm not just a waitress. I'm a woman.
Now, wouldn't you like to have a waitress like that? That was Lenora Nemitz and Company singing "It's an Art," from the adaptation of Stes Terkel's book Working into a Broadway musical. What a wonderful show. You've been listening to Part of the Union on listener-supported KSER-FM 90.7. We'll be back a month from today.
This has been Part of the Union, and we hope you have learned something new and interesting during the last 30 minutes. Please join us next month when we will once again bring you the news and views of interest to union members and their friends in progressive communities throughout the United States. And remember Benjamin Franklin's timeless warning to his fellow members of the Continental Congress. We must all hang together, or, most assuredly, we will all certainly hang separately. As true today as it was in 1776. Remember, support your union. In solidarity, until next month.